You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farah. Coming up, we'll talk about threats facing rural hospitals and how repealing the Affordable Care Act might impact health care in rural communities.
First, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to withdraw the U.S. from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, today. The move follows his promise on the campaign trail to undo the TPP and renegotiate trade policy.
The trade deal was negotiated by former President Obama's administration and got criticism from both sides of the aisle, but it was also seen as a way to connect the U.S. with some of the fastest-growing economies of Asia.
Mark Koplovich joins us now. He's an associate professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison. Mark, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, Mark, what exactly does the executive order to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership change starting today?
Well, so it effectively removes the U.S. signature from the TPP. The TPP is an agreement between 12 countries signed last year that make up about 40% of the world economy. So it's the U.S., but it was also Mexico, Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, et cetera. And it effectively means that the TPP is now dead because you needed 85% of the economic output of those countries and six of the signatories to ratify it. So if you take the U.S. or Japan out of it, effectively the agreement is no longer going to be ratified and put in force.
Well, speaking of ratified, it was never ratified by the U.S. Congress. So what did that mean about it?
It's a controversial agreement, as most trade agreements are, because trade has huge distributional consequences. Right. The general idea with trade is trade increases aggregate welfare or the national wealth of a country and its trading partners. There's more goods going across borders. The prices go down. The problem is there are winners and losers within countries. Right. And so in the U.S., we might be importing more goods from overseas, and that might cause some firms or people to go out of business, people to lose their jobs. And the problem with trade agreements is these things are bundled together. You can't get the increased benefits for consumers without the domestic distributional consequences.
Now, President Trump made it a priority to withdraw just a day or two into office. What message do you think that sends to U.S. trade partners, both in the TPP and beyond?
Yeah. I think it's a very clear signal of Trump's mercantilist trade policy, right? He very much views trade not, as I was describing, as a positive-sum game, which is really the way we viewed trade since the time of Adam Smith in the 18th century, but it's a zero-sum game, right, where if one country is winning, the other is losing, right? And the idea, I think, with Trump's trade policy and his foreign policy more broadly is putting America first, which means backing out of international commitments, closing off from the world economy. That may help save jobs in certain sectors at home, but in terms of is that good for American consumers and overall wealth for the U.S.? Not necessarily. And it certainly sends a signal to our allies that the U.S. may not be the main partner, main economic and geopolitical partner on the international stage in the future. So most of the criticism has been on a couple issues. So one was there's a dispute settlement court, an investor state dispute settlement court that's part of the TPP or was supposed to be part of the TPP. There were concerns about a loss of American sovereignty, that foreign investors could sue the U.S. There were concerns also about whether reciprocal reductions were going to happen, whether the U.S. was going to lower its barriers, but whether other countries would live up to their commitments to lower their trade barriers. So there were a lot of criticisms, but on the other hand, the U.S. probably stood to be the largest beneficiary from this agreement. We're the largest economy in the world. We were going to open up access to our markets, but we were also going to get greater access to markets like Japan and Australia and South Korea. So again, you see these distributional consequences. A lot of the criticism in the U.S. is saying that certain workers are going to lose their jobs or certain sectors are going to be hurt. But we haven't heard much in the political debate about the consumer side, right, and the sort of overall benefits for the U.S. as an economy.
What about the criticism that trade deals like the TPP may bring more wealth to the country, but it may concentrate that wealth in corporate hands?
That is a concern. The estimates that I've seen are that actually the benefits of inequality, the cost of rising inequality, were not going to be due to the TPP. In fact, there's some very interesting research out now by Jason Furman and others that tariffs, taxes on imports, are actually regressive taxes, right? That is, they hit lower-income households harder. Most of the tariffs that we're talking about getting rid of in TPP and other trade agreements are on consumer goods, right? And that's a larger share of income for lower-income households. So the argument that trade is linked to inequality, over the long run, there's a lot of evidence. Specifically with this agreement, it's not clear to me that that was going to be the case.
Mark Koplovich is with us right now, an associate professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison, talking about President Trump signing an executive order today to withdraw the United States from the TPP. And Mark, what do you think that withdrawal from the United States, by the United States, could mean for a country like China who might be looking to step in?
Yeah, so the big concern, I think, beyond the trade is issues is the geopolitical issues. Right. As much as TPP was a trade agreement, it was also very clearly a part of the Obama administration's pivot to Asia geopolitically. And one way to think about it is China wasn't involved in this large group, and we were sort of ring-fencing them with all of the other countries around the Pacific Rim. At the same time, we were signing military agreements with India, Australia, et cetera, and again, sort of ring-fencing China geopolitically. So pulling back, I think, is sending a big signal to the world that the U.S., at least under the Trump administration, may be abandoning its role as the global hegemon or the global leader and the champion of a kind of rules-based set of international institutions. And there's even some evidence already we're hearing that countries like Australia and Mexico are now thinking about, as an alternative, we need to move closer to China and maybe sign a bilateral or multilateral agreements with China. So there's a power vacuum possibly in the Pacific, and you could imagine that the Chinese, which are heavily dependent on exports as part of their growth and development model, may step into that power vacuum. Right? They've already done that on the development side by establishing an Asian infrastructure and investment bank as a competitor to the World Bank. And you can imagine that over the next couple of years now, they may try and set up their own alternative TPP-style agreement where the ring fencing would be of the U.S. rather than us being part of the agreement.
And Donald Trump says he's more interested in pursuing bilateral trade agreements instead of the multilateral. How might that policy, that kind of policy, affect the United States, economically speaking?
So it's not necessarily a bad strategy in and of itself. I mean, the U.S. has, and other countries have, a lot of bilateral trade agreements. The problem is a lot of international trade is now trade through multinational corporations, and it's going across multiple borders, right? So trade is not just between the U.S. and Canada or the U.S. and Australia. You have multinational corporations operating in all of these countries. And, yeah, a lot of the things that were in the TPP were actually about harmonizing things like labor standards and environmental regulations and having a court to adjudicate types of investment disputes and trade disputes between these partners. So it's not clear that a bilateral agreement can fully substitute for that sort of multilateral architecture.
Now, there are also signals that Trump will revisit the North American Free Trade Alliance. And is his approach to the TPP, do you think, going to be any indication to how he'll approach NAFTA?
It's hard to know what's going to happen with that. One way to think about the TPP was it was basically taking NAFTA and extending it to 10 other countries, right, or 9 other countries, because Mexico and Canada are the partners in NAFTA. They were going to be part of the TPP. And the idea with the TPP was we were going to extend the free trade agreement to those 9 other countries, and we were going to have this deeper cooperation on things like regulatory harmonization and investment disputes. So if we just turn back to renegotiating NAFTA, first, it's not clear that Canada and Mexico want to renegotiate NAFTA, right? And the second thing is, again, a lot of the international trade now is not going just between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., but also involves these other partners. So it's sort of an incomplete substitute. But I think you see the sort of same thing of the Trump administration is signaling that our trade commitments, with questioning our commitment to NATO and saying our military allies aren't paying enough, there's a very strong signal that we're going to rethink our role in the world and maybe our commitment to all of these international agreements and our allies.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That was Mark Koplovich. He's an associate professor of political science and public affairs at UW-Madison. After President Trump signed an executive order withdrawing the U.S. from the TPP, he joined us to talk about some of the implications that particular move could have.